ESPN 690 and Action Sports Shax presents Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau.
We're going to have to show a little more patience than the year two pom-pom people.
Casey Kurtz.
Yo! Well, what are we doing, bro? Come on!
And Aaron Schachter.
I'm all in favor of these two showing their love and really celebrating their relationship.
This is Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau, Casey Kurtz, and Aaron Schachter on Jacksonville's home for ESPN Radio, ESPN 690.
Hey, we're live at DeVoe's House of Cards each and every Tuesday. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. We got some card buying to do here today.
Nice.
That'll excite Casey.
Don't I owe you a pack or something like
you
that?
You do. Yeah, don't I owe you? Yeah, you say that every week.
Well,
you
know? What am I going to send you?
I never
you?
See any money.
Tell like, me how much money I got to send you.
Like, I see you five times a week usually. And
that's
then
not
I never
true.
Get anything.
Over the last 2 weeks, you've seen me maybe twice.
That's true. That's And it's been actually been awesome.
I'm sure you think so, Brent.
The only problem with that is I got to see Casey like a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot.
It's a bad trade-off.
What's happening, Casey?
Not much, man. Chilling.
Okay.
The busiest NFL trading deadline in recent memory is what Schefter called it.
Yeah, and because, you know, I read something recently. I don't know what it was, yesterday, today, Rappaport, Schefter, one of these guys. I don't know. And they said because they moved the deadline back, there's been more activity since they do that. And it's a very smart move by the NFL because you move it deeper into the season. We're November 1st. Usually the trade deadline used to be like, I think it was the second week of October.
You got to let teams figure out who they are.
That's right. So now you know who the buyers and sellers might be, and should we unload a contract? And plus, the contracts have changed so much, too. So I think the combination of the deadline moving, the amount of money in some of these deals, and then just also the options people have. I mean, the teams, of course, and they've had this for a while, whether it's a fifth-year option, a franchise tag option, all these other things. And so, I mean, you get a guy like Roquan Smith, right, who wanted out earlier, and it's like, I don't really want to be a part of it. And then they end up trading away Robert Quinn, and he cries at the news conference, and then he probably went back in and be like, get me the hell out of here, too. I mean, what the heck? And so maybe that's the way it went down. Or they just kept in their back pocket, okay, if we're not having a big year and he doesn't, we're probably not going to get a big deal done. Now we'll get something out of it.
I think it's interesting you got a bunch of teams who aren't traditionally considered buyers based on their record making moves to acquire talent. It's not just the Jaguars. You're talking about the Bears picking up Chase Claypool for Justin Fields, or even the Steelers picking up that corner, Will Jackson. The Broncos ended up picking up a running back in their trade. Like the and Jacob Martin, by the way, from the Jets, who's a pretty good running pass defender. But it does. It seems a lot more busy than what I can remember in recent memory for trade deadlines in the NFL, for sure.
Yeah, it is. I think it is, and I think that's good for the league. I think these are good things like around Major League Baseball time, but now this has really started to heat up and make it – trade deadline used to be boring. Like, it really was nothing happening.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Schefter's saying that, and that's why we all feel this way. It used to not be a thing, but now everything's a thing in the NFL.
Yeah, it's all an event.
It everything is a thing. And so you almost like – hey, it's Tuesday and off day. What's going to happen? You know, next week. It's like
they really do need.
They'll find a way. They'll find a way to make Tuesday's off day into an event.
They need to solve for Tuesday. Yes.
Well, sooner or later we'll have Tuesday night football, I'm sure.
It's been entertaining to read the chat in some of our social media platforms today.
Oh, I bet.
People are excited. Some people are not. But
yeah, that's okay. That's fine. By the way, I think you can make. I don't see a lot of harm in this, so I don't know where they're coming from completely, other than the fact that he hasn't played in a bit. But what are you giving up that you're really valuing? Again, we're talking about a fourth and fifth round pick potentially if it doesn't go well. That's worth rolling the dice now.
Yeah, I think most of the disappointment comes from the fact that this is not immediate help. Number one, and number two, it doesn't address the real question mark right now, which is the quarterback position. Not like you could, but.
Yeah, well, they're not going to address them. Yeah. Let's get Sawyer on real quick. Miss John Monday, Sawyer. What's happening?
What's up, man? I'm super excited. I'm a diehard Alabama fan. I'm from Alabama. I was born in Alabama, and I'm pumped. And I can tell you right now, Calvin, Calvin Ridley can run any route on the route tree.
Yeah, man.
He just has to be the same receiver he was before he got suspended, and then everything's going to be great. But I love this move, man. This gives me excitement to look forward to next year, where I know Trevor's going to have a good receiver. But I love it, man. I don't see any harm trading the fourth or whatever, the fifth. I'm just excited.
I mean, if you believe in Calvin Ridley, right, and you don't count Justin Blackmon's three games, I mean, he might end up being the best receiver on this team since Jimmy Smith. That's a big pickup today.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, Allen Robinson had a monster year.
A year.
And to be honest, well, so is Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
Had a monster year.
Yep.
So, I like it on a lot of levels. And if I'm reading Twitter right, I think overall people like it. I think people are like Sawyer. Now, Sawyer comes from a different view because of the Alabama nature of it. But let us know what you think. 904-362-9901. Should the Jags have done something else? Thankfully, they didn't do anything stupid like trade Josh Allen. That was good, in my opinion. And speaking of Josh Allen, where there was a lot of conversation externally, I believe there was zero conversation internally about Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Hockenson gets traded, same draft. He was the eighth pick. The Jags, I'm telling you, he was high. Like, they were ready to take TJ Hockenson, is the story out of that draft room. In that, what would that be, like 2019, I guess? Yeah, I think 2019 draft. So, what do you think about the Lions moving on from Hockenson, who's having himself a better season, a pretty nice season, and they sent him in the division, Casey, to the Vikings?
I guess Casey's busy answering phones right now. But
phone line's good.
We were talking about the trade earlier and the fact that it's very rare you end up seeing a trade to rivals. But at the same time, I guess the Lions feel like they got a lot of work to do. They're not scared of the Vikings this year.
And call up that trade and see what the compensation was, Aaron.
All right.
Because I would like to know maybe why didn't the Jags maybe take – oh, I'm looking at it, actually. Second-round pick next year, third-round pick in 24. That's pretty steep, probably, for Hockenson. I'm not sure Hockenson's done enough, Casey. I think you're back with us if you're off the phone. But I'm not sure Hockenson's done enough to say, oh, yeah, I want to go all in on that. How do you feel about TJ?
I wouldn't have done that because you got a long laundry list of tight ends that are available in the offseason. So for the Lions, I get it because you can get something for them. Okay, you're not going to pay them. Well, you got Gesicki you could go after. You got Schultz, Evan Ingram. There's so many guys that the Lions could replace him with. So I do understand why the Lions unloaded him. The Vikings, I guess they're trying to win now, but I just think there's a lot of tight ends that are going to be available. So it's an interesting move.
I think Hockenson's got a lot of shine on him from his 2020 season, but I don't think he's really lived up to what they expected when they drafted him. I think there would be disappointment here if you went Hockenson instead of Josh Allen, even the way Josh Allen has played up to this point, because it hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, I think let me just get some. I want to.
And then imagine looking at this team this year and its defensive struggles, right, and the issues that we've documented over and over here. And then you're looking at T.J. Hockenson on this team and Josh Allen on another team go, we could have had Josh Allen.
Yeah, and by the way, given the tough times of the Jaguars, Allen would probably be playing even better on someone else over the last
year. Yeah, who knows who he'd be playing next to? You might see double-digit sacks in multiple years.
So here's the numbers on Hockenson now. 32 catches for 360. He really did nothing in his rookie year. Two touchdowns. But usually tight ends take a little while to get going. Mm-hmm. And he had 67 for 723, six touchdowns. By the way, you know who's kind of on pace to do that or come close to that? Evan Ingram.
Yeah.
67 catches, 723, and he might not get six touchdowns, just got his first one last, so he might only get three, but you get my point. Then 61 catches, 583, four touchdowns. 26 receptions, 395, three touchdowns this year. He had one monster game that has really skewed the numbers. And he can block, by the way, too. So he can do both. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I thought Hockenson was going to be better. And I don't think he's really been great. But I tell you this, and we've done this before, tight ends pop later now. There's a chance that the Vikings get a lot out of TJ Hockenson.
Also, we talk about Ingram being like an X factor, kind of a wide receiver in tight end clothing, but Hockenson is the real deal. 6'5", 244. He's a guy you throw it up to in the end zone, and he comes down with it.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. I think we have Leo on the line about the trade. With Calvin Ridley, Jags are sending a fifth rounder next year and potentially up to a second rounder, but maybe only a fourth rounder in 2024 for the Atlanta wide receiver, and he can't play until next year, of course. Leo, what do you think about it?
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Aaron. I want to address everybody out of respect. And if you give me some time when I give my analysis, it'll make sense. Calvin Ridley, when he was playing, was a top 10 wide receiver. He was a top 10 wide receiver that could run every route tree in the route book when it comes to wide receivers. That's something that Trevor Ridley needs. I know everybody's down on Trevor right now, but his three bad games this year was two almost against great defenses. And so you need a wide receiver where if you go against the Denver Broncos and you got somebody like Patrick Surtain, you got somebody that you could go against him that can beat him one-on-one, at least on a consistent basis. We don't have nobody on the team that could do that as of right now. There's no shade to Christian Kirk, but he is a slot receiver that's good at short and intermediate routes. That's the same thing with Zay Jones. Marvin Jones don't have it anymore. We don't have receivers that – we don't have that dominant receiver that can go one-on-one that can go get it. And he's great in the red zone. If you go back and look at his Atlanta Falcons field, if you look at all the quarterbacks that have been successful in this generation, Josh Allen, you know what I'm saying, Justin Herbert, you know what I'm saying, Joe Burrow. Look at Joe Burrow game last night without Ja'Marr Chase. You need that guy. That guy is important. And finally, Jaguars got that guy. And I was still drafting a receiver in the third or fourth round, somebody that they could develop. But now what that tells me is that the quarterback position will be the number one position that needs to be addressed in the draft, and safety will be the second round pick. But it's a great move for Jacksonville. I know he only get to play next year, but at least Trevor got that number one guy that all the other young quarterbacks got for them to succeed and excel as a quarterback in this league. Thank you for your time. I truly appreciate all you hearing me out.
Thanks, Leo. Appreciate it, man. Good call, and I like your explanation, and I think you make a lot of good points. You got me thinking a little bit. My ears perked up when you said, okay, corner next year in the draft. Like, I'm not sure. I guess I know we should be thinking about the draft after the way the Jags have played, but I really haven't.
November 1st. Let's talk draft.
Like, I can't get in that headspace. I really can't. I mean, we're going to have plenty of time to do that.
What are we going
to
talk about from January through April?
But I do think it's an interesting point. It's like, okay, what do you go get next year? Let's assume they use they carry out the fifth-year option on Josh. They already picked Trayvon Walker last year. They've got Tyson Campbell, who they feel is a really good player. They've already used a pick on Devin Lloyd. They've got their linebackers set. I mean, I would say next stop for them would probably be the defensive interior. There's a good chance they lose Roy Robertson-Harris. Their offensive line is in pretty good shape in terms of investment. I mean, I'm going to pick a left guard with your first-round pick, and I think they like Barch when he comes back. You're probably not picking tight end with your first-round pick. You're not picking running back with your first-round pick. I mean, it really does leave only a few options. It's either wide receiver again. It's defensive tackle. It's corner. And it's very unlikely it's safety. Just safeties don't go, especially if the Jags end up picking in the top 10. Very, very unlikely that they would take safety.
You end up paying so much for a non-premium position.
Yeah, I just don't. I think they can find it somewhere else. So that part actually is interesting. I mean, I think they would go in the middle of that defense, Casey, defensive tackle. But I just don't even look at the names and people out there.
Well, so. I mean, it depends, right? Because Brian Brees is a really good player from Clemson. But it depends on where you're picking, right? As it stands today, the same Jags are running out there next week against the Raiders, right? So you might be picking in the top three. And then everything changes because you can't pick Brian Brzee at number three. You also can't pick, I think the number one corner off the board is going to be Ringo from Georgia. You can't do that.
Well,
top
you shouldn't want to. You got three quarterbacks projected to go top three. Get right out of the spot.
So you get out of the spot, yeah.
Oh, you would. Yeah. Listen, I think the way the Jags have played, it's very unlikely they pick in the top three. They're going to win some football games.
Well, you know,
I would think. I would just, the way they've played. Now, I understand they haven't won, and believe me, I'm with you on the disappointment level of that. But I just have a hard time down the stretch not seeing them win a few games or a couple of games at the very least, which means they end up with four or five at the worst-case scenario. I think that's going to get them in the top 10, but it's not going to get them in the top three. So I think there's a real good chance the Jags are picking probably like a 7, 8, 9 area still this year.
Well, you got a kid who just played here this weekend who might be there in the interior defensive line, a Jalen Carter out of Georgia, who might be around that area. Yeah. A couple of edge guys in the top 15 or 20 of some of these mock drafts. You got a tackle, Paris Johnson out of Ohio State, getting a lot of love in a lot of these mock drafts. But I'm not sure you go wide receiver if you're top 10. It's just so risky, it seems.
Yeah, it is. To be honest with you, the corner, to Leo's point, corner has been the safest.
All right, look at Sauce and the Jets,
Well, it was this year. A couple years ago, it wasn't. Okuda wasn't that great or hasn't been that great.
Yeah.
And neither was C.J. Henderson. And back, actually, if you go to that, I think there were like six corners taken in the first round that year, and a lot of them have been either out for different reasons or not good.
Mm-hmm. Who's the biggest corner coming out of college right now? Is it the South Carolina kid or somebody else?
No, I mean, it's the kid from Georgia, Ringo, right now is the guy, but he hasn't had that. Well, he was supposed to be the guy. He hasn't had that good of a year.
Trade down. Get the Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, or one of these other guys who you like. And
everybody wants to trade down. You got to have a dance partner, and you got to need some.
Oh, man, you got one. If you're in the top five, come on.
Not if you're picking eight.
If you're picking eighth, you're fine.
Then you can just take who you want
to take. You're okay to pick whatever then at eight, but just not at three, is what you're saying.
Well, you have so much you can get back.
I'm saying that there's not somebody's coming to get Bryce Young at three. At eight, you're going to have your pick of your defensive players because all the quarterbacks are going to go.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I thought we were debating whether the receiver in the top 10 would be worth a pick or not. But you're just, if you're in the top three, you're going to be able to trade out because you're not going to need the quarterback.
I think the point for the Jaguars is you have a few positions you kind of need to address urgently. There's a few, all of them. I mean, certainly you got a secondary that's got really big holes in it.
You definitely need a corner.
You need a corner. I mean, the holes aren't there with Andre Sisco and Rayshon Jenkins.
They're
right
cutting
now.
Jenkins. Are they going to pay him $15 million a year?
Yeah, they're going to cut him, but I'm talking about glaring holes right now.
This is what I'm saying. No, when you go into the draft, you're going to have holes in that secondary.
Yeah, you will. But we just talked about you picking safety top 10?
No, but like you definitely need a corner. Now, I don't know that you pick him number four, but you need one. You need a corner. Like you said, the interior on the defensive line, you still haven't solved the problem with the run game either. You need a wide receiver, although you hope you fix that with Ridley.
I would just say I don't know if they have glaring holes. I think they have, defensive tackle inside. I mean, you got Devon Hamilton playing well right now. You got Fadakasi, who you signed too. You did spend Darius Williams big money on a corner, one corner. You already have another corner that's very good and under contract with Tyson Campbell. He's probably going to get a big payday at some point. Not saying you don't need another one, but that would definitely be an option. But they also, don't be surprised if they play somebody else like a Buster Brown this year and see if they can develop him. They like him. And I'm not sure that, but you can get corners late and they turn into studs. Like, that's happened in the NFL a lot. You don't always have to take that first-round guy. And so I just don't know if they have glaring holes. I think they have some things that we're going to debate the heck out of going into that draft because you could go in a lot of different directions.
I think another one of the problems, by the way, is some of your biggest holes, i.e. pass rush and throwing the ball downfield, are occupied by very high, very valuable players on your team not performing right now.
Yeah, they just got to get better.
To that point, if you have an opportunity to draft Will Anderson, you're picking him.
Yeah.
I don't care who's on the roster.
Now, here's a guy you take in the top five who's not a quarterback.
I agree with that. Though Will Anderson would be, I think he's a really, 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 really good football player. So that's what I would really do is go get a really good football player. I almost don't care what position they play. If you can
25th against the pass sounds fairly glaring to me.
Let's get John on the phone right now. I think he's talking the Ridley trade as well. John, thanks for checking in. Brent Friends on ESPN 690.
Hey, guys. I really like the trade. Calvin Ridley can be, the trend in the NFL is to get your young quarterback a weapon like a Waddle, like Jamar Chase. And now Trevor Lawrence finally has that guy. And when he comes back in 2023, I think, expectation is definitely on Trevor Lawrence at that point to make big giant leaps, and I think he hasn't done it yet, and I'm hopeful with a guy like the guy we got, I think Ridley is now fitting in now to that number one role.
Good conversation point there, John. Appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Thanks for listening to ESPN 690. And I listen, there's going to be a lot on Trevor next year. But I also think we have to be a little bit careful, and I'm not here yet. Maybe some others are, and maybe I got to be careful. But there's a lot of football to be played this year that we can feel good about Trevor in a few weeks, like no problem. It's not hard. We felt good about Trevor after 3 weeks. We could debate a little bit even after the Giants game. The reason why we feel terrible about Trevor right now is because we just saw something happen twice in a month. That were exact same play. And I'd say it's not concerning, but that's the reason we don't feel good about him. Everybody thought Justin Fields, like, what is he doing? I know he doesn't have a lot around him, but what's he doing? Well, now after two straight weeks, we're like, Justin Fields, not bad. So, like, it's the ebb and flow a little bit of a young quarterback. And I'm just not – I think these nine games are so big for Trevor to begin with, and then next year is going to be really big. But let's just say Trevor plays well down the stretch here. Like, are we even thinking about, like, well, by the end of 23, we'll know Trevor or not? Like, that conversation is coming up right now because he's been inconsistent. He's 5-20, and he made two really boneheaded plays, at the very least, over the last month. I just wonder if we're having that same kind of conversation by mid-December. Hopefully we're not.
I don't even think he needs to play well for the remainder. I think if he just finishes with a good 3-5 games, fans will be hopeful. And that's all you really need going into the offseason.
All right, let's take a break. I want to talk more about Trevor, actually. We've got so much more to come. What a fantastic Tuesday with the NFL trade deadline. And we'll have some of those conversations when we come back live from DeVoe's House of Cards here on Brent and Friends on ESPN 690. Hey, welcome back. DeVoe's House of Cards, Brent and Friends on ESPN 690. The big news of the day, the Jaguars trade for Calvin Ridley, former Alabama receiver, former Atlanta Falcon receiver, suspended receiver. And if I say it just like that, you're like, oh, so typical of the Jags. They traded for a suspended receiver who can't play until next year. But it actually has a lot of upside to it. The Jags could be just giving up a fifth rounder in 2023 and a fourth rounder in 2024. And that's probably if it doesn't work out. If it does work out, like to its highest degree, the Jags would give up a fifth rounder next year and a second rounder in 2024. And if it really works out, you'll be fine parting ways with those two picks.
Oh, yeah.
So, and we've been talking about this trade a bunch. Just look at it from this year. Yeah, you don't get anything. That's a little frustrating because you'd love to see it. I just saw somebody on Twitter said, for the next 10 weeks, I'm going to be saying, Calvin Ridley would have caught that. It was a pretty good tweet. That's probably what's going to happen. But you lose Marvin Jones at the end of the year. You have Zay Jones and Christian Kirk under contract for multiple more years. You might lose Ingram. And I would assume you're going to lose Dan Arnold as well. Dan Arnold, by the way, tonight at Sneakers, Jags Report Live. Come on out, 7 o'clock.
The entire tight end room, I think, has their contracts up. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, but just take Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, and then you lose Marvin, and so you replace him with Calvin Ridley. That's an upgrade. It's a major upgrade.
Major.
And then what else do you do? Do you add a young receiver? You know, I can't imagine Tim Jones is going to continue to be, like, back on the depth chart there. So
maybe grab a Mike Gesicki from Miami in the offseason or Dalton Schultz.
And you guys have said this, right? There's a lot of tight ends available next year.
Austin Hooper.
So
Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, I think you're going to find a tight end. You're going to be able to do that. Here's what else we were discussing in the commercial break. The Jags are really trying to continue to add speed. Calvin Ridley's a guy that is fast, but even plays faster, I think, than his 40 time. 4.43, I think you said, right?
Yeah.
Aaron?
Might actually. It was Ridley's 4.43. I'm trying to look up his miles per hour, though, because I find that.
It was like 18.74. I saw one of them. Of course, that was the old analytics. We've really upgraded the next-gen stats, so maybe it's even higher now.
I always find that interesting when you see a guy run 22 miles an hour. You're like, what?
Yeah, usually the guy running that 20-mile-an-hour mark is like, whoa, that's blazing, right?
I mean, I don't know if you've ever, like, had your, like, sitting in the back of a pickup truck or something while it's going, like, 10, 15, but consider jumping out of that thing at 10. You realize how fast 20 is.
So give us, I think the Jags are trying to be the Chiefs. Like, who wouldn't want to try to be the Chiefs? But not everybody's trying to be the Chiefs. There are other teams that try to do it a different way. But Doug Peterson wants to be, guess what? The Chiefs, right? Like, that's his tree. That's where he wants to build. Everybody would like to be able to be as fast and productive as the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that's where the Jags are headed here, at least trying to be. And so you go get fast receiver Calvin Ridley, 4.43. Zay Jones is what, 4.45?
They had Zay at 4.46 is what I saw.
Okay, 4.46. And then what's...
Yeah, Kirk at 4.46.
And then you add in a guy like ETN.
At 4.45, but looks like he's running 40 miles an hour every time.
And again, I think we're talking about guys that play faster. I think Christian Kirk feels like he plays fast. Zay Jones is a guy that plays fast. Calvin Ridley, I was surprised his actually 40 time wasn't under 4.4 because it feels like he played fast in all the highlights I remember. And Travis Etienne actually feels like he plays faster than 4.45.
Yeah, meanwhile, as far as the 40 goes, the fastest guy on your roster right now is Evan Engram at 4.42.
Which is pretty wild, right?
At least the fastest starter,
And keep in mind, the Jags are going to want to keep Evan Engram. I'm not sure they can or will, but they're going to want to keep him.
You don't want to pay 13 to 15 for him.
No, they're not going to be. That's why. They might not be able to. He bet on himself, and we'll see what it is. But who knows? Maybe he wants to stay and be a part of it. But there's no doubt Ridley helps the Jags get faster. Now, listen, Marvin Jones, if you want to go look up this 40 times, like 4.40, but that was probably some like dozen years ago now. No, seriously. He's still...
Yeah, he's been around for a while. Yeah.
But he's not that, right? He's not playing to that speed anymore. Do you guys agree with me that the Jags are trying to be the Chiefs in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, I think out of necessity at this point, right? Like, if you had a clear number one and number two target, then I think it's a different conversation. But, I mean, as long as you got everyone on the playing field they're on, and they're fairly close to each other, you look at other team separation, like... Devonta Smith on the Eagles is the number two, right? Like the separation between him and AJ Brown, even just this year, and I realize that Smith is a good receiver, is pretty stark, basically compared to like a Christian Kirk, Evan Engram. At this point, like it's very close. So I think all things created equal, if you got options to throw to, why not have them all fast and spread out all over the field? To your point about the Chiefs, like Mahomes often says to fantasy football players, hey, guys, sorry about this, but I'm not throwing all my passes to one guy unless his name is Travis Kelce in the end zone.
Yeah, and Casey, by the way, the other part of this is you look at the Miami Dolphins and what have they done to upgrade? They've got speed. I mean, they got Tyreek Hill. They got the fastest guy in the league, but Waddle can fly.
Yeah.
So can Mostert, by the way, out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's quick as well, and they're going with him officially because they trade Chase Edmonds. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs are a good model to follow. You're putting the pieces together. You're still missing your Travis Kelce, right? But nobody can be him. Hopefully Evan Engram can be. But you just need the quarterback to be able to make every throw that Patrick Mahomes can make, and then you're in good shape.
Well, the thing about it, Casey, is I think he can make a lot of the throws Mahomes makes. Will he? And will he do it in the right spots? You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, he can make just about every throw that needs to be made out of that position. Now, he might not have some of the creativity, whatever. But can he get the game slowed down, and can he play as well? And, again, we don't even need in Jacksonville for him to play like Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody's trying to say that. But can he play at a high level, an elite level, and get there and turn the corner? Yeah, that's going to be the question. But the one thing about Patrick Mahomes is he's never had to do it without those weapons. Never.
Yeah, not
by
himself.
He's always had them.
At least three running backs worthy of starting on some other team on the team, at least two wide receivers that could start for any other. He's never, I'm trying to think of like, Tyreek Hill, obviously a true number one, Travis Kelce, an elite tight end. But they do fill out the rest of that roster, it seems like, with different guys every year. It's like, were you looking at Mecole Hardman going, yeah, that's the guy.
Nobody's fast.
He is. Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster, like one season in Pittsburgh across from Antonio Brown, he looked good, but like I never thought of Juju Smith-Schuster as like the guy.
And he's not a fast guy, right?
No, he's a possession guy.
He's more a possession guy. So, but anyway, they have a lot of – they built the speed element, and everybody's trying to mimic it. Not everybody, but a lot of people are trying to mimic it, or you're built a different way. Like, what's interesting is in this whole thing with Ridley is they might still not check the box of what they're missing the most. A guy that can just go up and get the football and win a 50-50 ball. Like, do you have confidence that Ridley's that guy? He's a true number one. He's got to be that guy.
Yeah, he's got to be. You kind of wish you got a bigger body guy. I mean, he's longer than anyone we've got, but 6'1", 190, you know.
Yeah, that's 6'1", 190. That's like length on this receiving core.
He's long, but...
But, like, no. You're talking A.J. Brown and going back to the Julio Jones and the DK Metcalf of the world and those kind of – like, I think people have those guys in their mind. There are not a lot of those guys out there.
Well, it was only a couple of weeks ago we saw Christian Kirk catch the ball on the one and then get pushed back to the three at the end of the game. Like, you want one of those guys to protect. Not that every game ends on that play, but
– Yeah, and I also think, like, 9 out of 10 receivers would have got pushed back on that play. Like, I think – I don't really think it had as much to do with that. Now, DK Metcalf doesn't. But again, how many DK Metcalfs are out there?
Yeah, not many.
You know, so, I mean, do they still need that, I guess is what I'm getting at. Do they still need a big body guy, regardless if they have Ridley, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk? Do they need somebody? Or does this suffice?
I think this is what frustrates people like Casey and the rest of the fan base the most, is that you still don't know. And you're not gonna for months. You have no idea.
How do you feel about that part of it, Casey? Because you're still kind of the most wishy-washy of us here. And can Ridley give you that element where he's going to be a 50-50, he's going to go up and get it, he's going to be that alpha guy?
I think he's the closest thing you got to it. So we're going to have to figure it out. But, yeah, I do feel better about it, right? I think if he has good red zone stats, then at some point in time he's gone over somebody and made a play. So I will feel better about it. Not today, next year I will, but blind faith. Sure. Why not? What other option? What other option do I have? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a fair point. Like, what other options do you have in terms of getting a guy that can go up and make a play? There's just not a lot of it. So when we think alpha guy, number one wide receiver guy, I still think there's two ways. There's a couple ways to do it. You can get the fast and big guy, which is very rare. You can go get the big guy, or you can just get another fast guy. And maybe he's a blend of a guy that can still go up and get the football and make contested catches, but also can really beat you and burn you. And the route tree guys that have called in and said, yeah, I mean, a guy can run every route. Now, you have some technicians, right? You got a Ridley and Kirk. Those are technicians out there. That can be very effective, and can be very effective in a Doug Peterson offense, because we've seen his schematics are pretty good, guys. He's going to get people open, and he can do that. Ridley will be another guy and another toy, if you will, to be able to get open. So I do wonder if we'll still think, though, in the offseason, be like, all right, still need a guy to go up and just throw it to. But how many teams just have that? I don't think a lot.
And it won't be there in free agency. So if you manifest it, it'll be through a trade or something. And then now you're taking on somebody's baggage. Someone who wanted to get out or didn't want to get out, even worse, and is unhappy about the trade. Like, you almost rather it go down either through the draft or free agency in that sense. But I don't know where you get it from. It's not like last season, or maybe it is. Maybe you see at the end of the season a couple of these guys looking to get paid and develop their get-paid demands as we get towards the camps next year. But I think last year was a special case.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, let's get South Beach Gary. I think he wants to talk a little bit about the Dolphins. Can we trade your receiver? You can have Bradley Chubb, South Beach Gary. We'll take either Waddle or Tyreek Hill around here.
Oh, guys, I'm like George Costanza, Sammy J. I'm busting, guys. I'm busting. In essence, the trade line deal guys landed in Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Bradley Chubb. Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now all you need is a new owner and a quarterback.
There's nothing wrong with my quarterback.
Tua looked fantastic last week. Who am I to talk?
Yeah, that's good. Do they become Super Bowl? Like, how much of a Super Bowl threat do you think are the Dolphins? What? No, seriously,
Super
South Beach Gary. South.
I'm feeling it, Brad. I'm feeling it. Yeah, they needed to pass rush. They are like 21st in the league in a percentage of hurting your quarterback. So I just love it because another guy you got to account for. I heard that Chester say they got to make sure you give it time to a long term deal. I just love the aggressiveness, guys. Let's talk about the aggressiveness that Chris Greer has been doing as GM, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, he's doing obviously a pretty good job putting him in position. And he's really helped the young quarterback out and Tua and put him in a spot to be super successful. I mean, you've seen all the numbers. Those two guys, like, lead the NFL in so many categories from a receiving standpoint, more than, like, you know, most teams are catching, you know, receiving-wise, yardage-wise. And so he can really – I mean, did you see the Tyreek Hill play the other day? Where
yes.
Casey and Aaron, he basically threw the ball up for grabs.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like this was a beautiful throw. He just threw the ball up.
I got news for you.
And out jumping everybody, or you had that great shot like in midair where he just boom.
Listen, South Beach Gary's not going to want to hear it, but literally every pass to Tariq Hill from Tua looks like this, where Tariq is just streaking across the field. Tua throws something up in the air. Tariq has to break off the route and come back about 5 to 10 yards and catch it. Before, I know we're running a break, but listen to this, man. 2020 on the Dolphins with Tua, you had Myles Gaskin at running back, Devonta Parker and Preston Williams at wide receiver, and Gesicki at tight end. I'd say they've upgraded that offense just slightly.
Yeah, they've done a good job, man. Are they a contender to win a Super Bowl? I would say they think they are. No, seriously, they think they are.
I hope they do.
No, they don't want to play that offense now. That offense can really put up some points with those two guys. That's tough to defend. And Bradley Chubb's a good player. Has he played to the degree everybody thought he could? I'm not so sure about that, but he's a good player. We'll be back live from DeVoe's House of Cards here on a Tuesday. Brent and Friends on ESPN 690. Oh, what a busy day in the NFL with all the trades that have happened throughout the league. Include the Jacksonville Jaguars. Start the show here on a Tuesday from DeVoe's House of Cards with a big-time trade for the Jags as they get Calvin Ridley from the Atlanta Falcons. And they can't have him this year, though. You're going to have to wait, folks. Instead, it will be in 2023. And if you're just jumping in and getting out of work and tuned into this, we'll talk more about it. Football at 5 coming up, but the compensation is a fifth-round pick next year. And it could be a second-round, third-round, or fourth-round pick is the way it's been described in 2024, all based on what Ridley does. It really comes down to a big year in 2023 where he has an option that rolled over from the suspended season. So, like, it's not even going to be a cap type of deal for the Jags to worry about. So there's a lot of no risk involved here, or at least low risk for the Jacksonville Jaguars from a dollar standpoint, investment standpoint, and even a trade capital standpoint for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that means now 2023 is going to be a big season. I also don't necessarily think this means the Jags are thinking 2022 is done. Like, I know we kind of do. But I think there's 9 games left, and these are 9 important games for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, this wasn't one of those trades where they said, see you later, Jawan Taylor. See you later, Josh Allen, or anything like that. Now, there also weren't buyers for this year, but that made sense. They're going to see what they have, and they got to work through some things. They didn't have a lot of money to spend this year anyway. And so this was a move toward the future, whether they go 9-0 or 0-9 over the remaining games of this year. They were making this move for 2023, and I think you can simply put it as, hey, they're going to lose Marvin Jones. We know that. Marvin Jones is done after this year, and this is your replacement for Marvin Jones.
Yeah, this is why I love this deal so much. It's like if you just forget for a second that they're in the middle of a football season, and you just consider this that transaction, that you know Marvin's contract is coming to a close, and you've just replaced him with a true number one, massive upside here. He gave away barely nothing for him. The reality is, if he has the kind of season that's going to end up costing you a second-round pick for him, I mean, how many wins are you adding to the schedule with him?
Are we surprised they didn't unload anybody? Jawan, Marvin.
I think we all expected it.
Josh Allen. You did? Yeah,
I did.
I didn't. But Casey, you're a little surprised, right? You even thought, I think, Ingram could go.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they could have done they could have found somebody to move. I guess not. And if that's the case, then they better be keeping Juwan Taylor, because I'm not a big believer of your team is bad, so you have guys that you're going to re-sign or trade. You don't just let people walk out the door. And if that's how that's going to play out, then I'll be disappointed in March because of it. But I am surprised that nobody moved at all. But, again, if they bring him back, we're okay with it.
What does it mean for Juwan Taylor, though? Do you think it is some? Is there a writing now on the Juwan Taylor wall of, okay, we're going to keep him here because we want him here?
Is there a second?
No.
Oh, okay. Like,
do they want him here long term?
I mean, apparently.
Like, is that what that says? Like, I mean,
I would think so. He's playing well.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at it, though. They're playing. He's playing well. So again, like I said this earlier. I think the Jags want to be really careful for the rest of this year. There's nine games to go, nine important games in the career and growth and everything else of Trevor Lawrence, to not break up the continuity. Now, earlier I said chemistry, and people laughed at that, like they've got this great chemistry. Well, they do have a lot of good numbers and good things going on offense. They don't have good enough things going on offense. But let me remind you, they're scoring a touchdown more than they did last year during his rookie year. So they do have more good things than people want to admit. They just don't have W's, and at least the continuity stays. So, like, I think you can make the case that they are not going on with Juwan Taylor because they just are not going to invest in the right tackle to the position to the point that needs to be invested to keep him. But they want to keep the continuity, good play, and everything else going here in 2022 to continue the development and growth of Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I think you can make the case that's why they did it. I think Casey would be mad if that's the reason why they did it.
Yeah, I would be. I would actually be furious if that's the reason. Because, again, you only have so many good players. Like, everybody says it. And if you're going to not either get something for them or not continue them to be on your team, then what's the point of not trading them? Now, look, if all they were getting offered was a fourth-round pick, then okay, I get it, right? Yeah. I'm not trading that guy for a fourth-round pick. But he's playing well enough. Teams need offensive line help. I can't imagine that all they could have got was a fourth-round pick. I could be wrong, but I won't take lightly, or I won't be happy about this if he walks out the door in March.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And by the way, you bring up a good point there. They might not have had a dance partner that was willing to give up what they wanted.
Right.
Like, there is a two-way street there. And so I think the question becomes, does this kind of show their hand, though, of how they feel about Juwan and what they could do next year, franchise tag or even a long-term extension, which if they did have a long-term extension, that would then make Walker Little expendable. And by the way, Walker Little could have some value around draft time or the new league year time in March because he still has a couple years left on his rookie deal. You can't make that move after the season with Juwan Taylor. They're going to have to make a move or a decision on him. As his contract runs out, use a second-round guy, so there's no fifth-year option available, obviously. They've already used that with Josh Allen. The other big news, I guess Josh Allen doesn't go anywhere. I never thought he was, but he doesn't go anywhere this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they do have some power because of that fifth-year option that they already picked up. We'll be back from DeVoli's House of Cards. More Trevor Lawrence conversation when we come back. There are a couple things I want to get to and see what the guys think as well. It's Brent and Friends on ESPN 690. Football at 5 is next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.